Thank you, New Hampshire. Tonight we made history.
Happy sounding Mitt Romney there. History, or perhaps the answer to a trivia question someday, depending on what happens to Mitt Romney from here on out. Romney's bit of immortality that he refers to there is the fact that he is the first non-incumbent Republican to win both Iowa and New Hampshire, and it gives him all the momentum going into the next primary in South Carolina. This was a not unexpected result, though, and Romney's pugnacious gang of challengers looks more than a step behind this morning. For more on the momentum factor for all of the candidates remaining in the race, we turn to Anna Sale, reporter for the politics website of our co-producer, WNYC. It's a freecountry.org. She's also been touring the state with our partner station, WGBH. Anna, good morning.
Good morning.
So is it Big Mo or Little Mo for the Romney campaign this morning?
Well, I mean, you can't argue. It's Big Mo. When you've got nearly 40% of the vote in the New Hampshire primary, you know, Romney had a reason. He had that skip in his step when you hear that his voice during his speech last night. It was the strongest and the most assured I've seen him on the campaign trail during that speech. And you know, he's been targeting Barack Obama all along, but it really felt like he was making this a two-man race with that speech to squarely targeting general elected voters here in New Hampshire last night.
Well, the confidence is what makes the turn in his rhetoric, and we actually heard it last night in his victory speech. Listen.
If this election is a bidding war for those who can promise the most benefits, then I'm not your president. You already have that president.
Yeah.
If you want to make this election about restoring American greatness, then I hope you'll join us.
Confronting Barack Obama and that powerful picture of his family all standing up there on that stage. What do you make of those, I guess Todd Zulick would call them optics going forward?
Well, they're hard to argue with. And, of course, this making history, winning both Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, remember, of course, after the Iowa returns, we were talking about how it was mostly a draw between Santorum and Romney, just 8 votes. But now with this huge win in New Hampshire, the narrative's totally changed. And now we talk about Romney's sweep so far.
His family, a campaign asset there or just a photo op?
Well, you know, it certainly doesn't help. It certainly is a great photo op, but something that I don't think's been talked about a lot is Ann Romney on the campaign trail, both in Iowa and New Hampshire. She is good in front of crowds, and it's been interesting. When I've seen Mitt Romney, he speaks, then he hands the mic over to his wife. She speaks and then hands it back to him. So she really gets folks whipped up, and also really comes across as a sincere campaigner. And that's something that Mitt Romney, even as he's been campaigning for months now, and even at the beginning of the speech last night, I felt like he doesn't quite have that, you know, charisma. And Ann Romney might be the person who's needed to sort of bring that out. So you know,
we'll talk about how those assets play in sort of face-to-face encounters, and you've had plenty of them over the last few weeks. But the other result last night, of course, in New Hampshire was getting confirmation of the solid double-digit support that Ron Paul seems to get everywhere he goes. And it seems that if you buy the idea that Ron Paul can't get the nomination, he's kind of in a position to help Mitt Romney. He sort of walls Mitt Romney off from the rest of the pack. The Huntsmen, Santorums, and Gingriches can't really touch him. Is that Paul's game here?
Well, it's not clear what Paul's game is. He certainly didn't sound like he's in any way backing off. During his speech last night, he was very much charging ahead. And, you know, this is a man who's been running for president for nearly 25 years.
Right.
Waiting to make the speech forever. But the people in the crowd there, they are Ron Paul supporters. And Ron Paul got a huge second-place finish here in New Hampshire. I mean, we're talking about John Huntsman, but Ron Paul was well ahead of him. And it just makes me wonder about whether he's going to try to keep this thing going, even when Romney is the Republican nominee, if Ron Paul is going to keep going as an independent, because he appeals to voters that Romney doesn't.
Let's listen to Ron Paul speaking in victory in that characteristic, very relaxed, very confident way.
But I sort of have to chuckle when they describe you and me as being dangerous. That's one thing they are telling the truth, because we are dangerous to the status quo of this country.
Man, it's exciting stuff. Two things to ask you about there. Number one, the GOP is going to have some decisions to make depending on how this plays out over the next month or so. And what do the supporters say?
Well, the supporters, you know, like I said, the Ron Paul supporters are Ron Paul supporters, and they sort of see that he's got this wider appeal than just the Republican primary electorate. I talked to several at the polling place yesterday who were voting for Ron Paul, and these weren't just, you know, Ron Paul sort of supporters who showed up with signs. You know, he was attracting, you know, small business owners, single moms. I mean, it was more diverse than sort of what you see in the media, and they see that, these Ron Paul supporters. I talked to a guy named Andrew Tripp and asked him, look, if Ron Paul wins here, do you think there's really a way forward for him to be president in the Republican primary? And he said, you know, maybe he can go another way.
I think he can get Republicans on the bandwagon. I think he could get a lot of independents and even some Democrats, because really a lot of people are fed up with government and realize we kind of need a big change.
So passion.
I just hear there, you know, just challenge to the status quo is what Ron Paul is saying. His supporters are saying we see a wide tent here. I kind of, it's just shades of Ross Perot all over again.
Interesting. Well, intensity there with Ron Paul, but for the rest of the field, including Romney, give us a sense of the intensity in New Hampshire. That may be the real story, because Republicans really have to gain intensity as these primaries continue. What do you think?
Well, Romney obviously has intensity. Now, the voters who I talked to who are voting for Romney in New Hampshire, they did not have intensity. But maybe seeing this result and seeing that he got nearly 40% in New Hampshire, that might kind of change the sense of momentum and change the sense of whether he's the guy we need to get behind now. As far as John Huntsman, who came in third, he got on stage, tried to whip up the crowd, talked about we're on the hunt and we're moving on. But his supporters afterwards, I asked them, you know, what do you think the message of his result was here in New Hampshire? You know, we're going to keep – the media will move on to South Carolina. What do you want to make sure we pay attention to? And this Huntsman voter just said, look, you know, to be honest, this is all about 2016, and John, I don't think he's going to do any more.
Anna Sale from itsafreecountry.org. Stay with us, Anna. We're talking politics all morning long. We leave you with the voice of John Huntsman talking about his next step.
Here we sit tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with a ticket to ride and to move on. Here we go to South Carolina. Thank you all so very much. Thank
you. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So it makes a world of difference when the campaign actually is about voting and real voters in a primary contest and actual delegates. And that's what happened yesterday in the New Hampshire primary. Mitt Romney winning handily. Ron Paul coming in a solid second. John Huntsman a distant but credible third. And everyone moves on to South Carolina. Is there an enthusiasm gap, though, an enthusiasm deficit here in this campaign on the part of the GOP and the Democrats, for that matter? We've gotten some responses from you folks. A Michigan voter calls us and says, I'm a young Democrat that worked hard to get Obama elected, but he is far from followed through with his word and has been a disappointment for the working class. I really want Ron Paul to win. If he makes it through the primary, he's definitely got my vote. If not, my vote goes to Obama. And here's a voter from South Carolina who's next up in the primary contest. I'm independent, and honestly, I don't like anyone on the ballot. My vote last time was for Ron Paul. He was the only candidate with a brain, and it's the same game this time. Well, try not to make personal attacks, but give us your responses at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Talking now with Anna Sale, once again, reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer WMYC. She's live in New Hampshire. And Todd Zwilla, Takeaway Washington correspondent, is on the line from Washington, D.C. Good morning again to both of you.
Morning, John.
Anna, let's wrap up the ground game in New Hampshire. Any impressions, any sort of pictures that stay with you? I was struck by the comment you made a few moments ago about Mitt Romney's wife being such a good campaigner.
Well, she really is a great campaigner. There's one moment that I just thought was really interesting when I was here on Sunday night, when Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor, was here at a rally with Mitt Romney. He sort of surprised Ann Romney and said, you know, after his remarks, he got the crowd really going and said, you know, and Ann Romney's going to close it out. And he kind of shoved the mic over to her, and she wasn't expecting it. And she just closed out the evening by talking about the conversations she'd had with Mitt Romney, their decision for him to run for president again, how she really believed believes in him. And the crowd just, you know, was just riveted with her words. And then she ends the rally, and her mic is still live, and I could hear her lean over to Chris Christie and say, "You know, I just tried to speak from the heart." And he said, "That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do." Like, he's coaching her. And I just thought, you know, this is somebody who connects to audiences in a way that Mitt Romney doesn't.
And that may be a story, you know, as the Republicans are looking to deal with this enthusiasm deficit that you've talked about. Okay, to both of you, it seems to me that with Iowa and New Hampshire, you've got small, narrowly defined states. South Carolina is a very different but still a narrow southern bastion, a very traditional conservatism. It seems as though we've got one more small primary, that's South Carolina, and then big Florida really decides everything. Anna, how does this change the campaign from here on out? And then I want your response, Todd.
Well, I think in South Carolina, we've just got to pay attention to what unaffiliated voters are allowed to do in these primaries, because that was a huge part of the story here in New Hampshire, independent voters and their backing of Ron Paul and John Huntsman and how they changed the numbers. South Carolina has an open primary, but Florida, for all its diversity, it's a huge state. It's a closed primary, so we're not going to be hearing from independent voters there. We'll be hearing from just registered Republicans there, and that's where, even here in New Hampshire, Mitt Romney was strong.
Todd, where do we go from here?
Remember that South Carolina does have moderates and independents. You don't think of South Carolina having a lot of moderates and independents, but they live along the coast. They live in the beach communities. They live up north. They come down from the north to have beach houses, and they stay there. There's quite a lot of them. Mitt Romney's going after them. So is John Huntsman, for that matter, because he's staying in the race. And then on to Florida. Anna's right. A closed primary, but the quintessential battleground. Let's even look a little bit beyond Florida, because it doesn't look like Ron Paul's going anywhere, even if other candidates start to fall away. We thought they might fall away last night, John. Not a single one of them did. On to Nevada and Michigan after that.
Why is that? Why didn't people fall out? Do you think? Do you have to stay in the game to South Carolina? That's basically the ticket. You stay till South Carolina?
Because South Carolina sort of rounds out the mosaic of the primary, right? Iowa is the Iowa caucus. It's that little enclave of that special thing that only Iowa is. New Hampshire's a primary. It's an open primary, but it's very moderate. South Carolina brings you down south, where the conservatives reign, where the evangelicals reign, and the voters on the right, the hotbed, the home of the Tea Party. So you go through all states, and you kind of, even though you get it in bites, you start to get a fuller picture of the Republican electorate, perhaps.
But it also seems to me that, Todd, and you know, this is a theory, and Anna, weigh in here if you like, that the importance of Florida is now huge. It's not a narrow state. It's a swing state. It has a vast diversity, and it's really, really important in the general election as well. If Romney decisively wins Florida, who can possibly mount a challenge from here on out? Todd and then Anna.
Probably nobody. And there, it's increasingly looking like even at this stage, nobody can mount a credible challenge to Mitt Romney. But there are other issues at play. Let's say Romney is the nominee. None of the people running against him right now is likely to take the nomination away from him. John, you asked, why are people staying in through South Carolina, through Florida, through Nevada, possibly Michigan and on? Because Mitt Romney is fundamentally weak in a couple of different ways, and everybody knows it. Let me do a quick crosstab real quick. Independence in New Hampshire. Mitt Romney didn't win him. He got 29% of self-described independents. Ron Paul won him with 32%.
That's big in Florida. Anna?
Well, I think we're talking about the nominating contest, and then we're talking about enthusiasm. And so I think that the whole Republican field and some kind of power players in the Republican Party know that Mitt Romney has those weaknesses. I talked to a woman here who's a sort of GOP activist. She ended up endorsing Mitt Romney after, you know, kind of taking a look at the candidates for many, many months. And she said she got an email from Rush Limbaugh. She said she got all kinds of calls from Republican, you know, folks in the Republican establishment saying, you know, he's not the right guy. What are you doing? So, you know, Romney has not wrapped up that sense that he can, you know, be the standard bearer for the party in this important election, where it's important to note, voters I talked to in New Hampshire, while they didn't have a lot of enthusiasm for Mitt Romney personally, there's a lot of enthusiasm for defeating Barack Obama.
All right. So a takeaway now from both of you before we go, less than a minute, is the GOP's agenda, the GOP's takeaway from New Hampshire, we got to make a decision about Ron Paul, and we've got to bolster Mitt Romney's conservative credentials. Yes or no, Todd?
I don't think so. I don't think the GOP has to make a decision about Ron Paul. Ron Paul's got Ron Paul. The GOP needs to make a decision about its wedding to Mitt Romney and how that's going to work.
Anna Sale?
Yeah, I think it's up to Ron Paul's decision. How does he want to play this? Does he want to stay in the Republican primary and when it's over, get out of the race? Or is he not going to be able to kind of step away from these loud crowds who turned out in New Hampshire?
Well, we'll know. We'll know before long. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent here all hour. Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website, for our co-producer WNYC live in New Hampshire. Thanks, Anna and Todd.
Thank
Pleasure.
You.